All right, it's time to begin. Good to see everyone out this morning. And so thankful that everybody made it here safely, and hope and pray that we'll do the same as we head home later this morning. We finished up Wednesday night at the end of Acts chapter 28. Paul's journey has ended. He's in Rome, and we've looked at the second and third journey. And what I want us to think about, I'm going to run through a review this morning. But I want us to think about, as we study this, as we look back and go through this, I want you to think about the influence that Paul had on his journey, on his physical journey, and on his spiritual journey. Think about the influence he had on so many people. You know, we've seen this so many times, and we've talked about this many times. And Paul's focus, as we study these chapters, we focus a lot on Paul because it's about his journey. But Paul's focus, and I think he would be the first one to tell you, was not on himself, but his focus was on Christ. And we see that evident as we study every chapter. We see that evident, that his focus was always on Christ. As we look into this, let's just think about those things as we study. And also, I want us to think about the influence that he had on those that he met on his journeys, that he studied with, that he preached to, the letters he wrote. Not only did he have an influence on those people, he's had an influence on thousands and thousands of people, including ourselves. And as long as the world continues, he's going to continue to have an influence on others. And so we see in Paul and his great influence and his desire to reach out to others and to serve Christ and to obey the command he was given to teach is a good example, very good example for us. So we began in chapter 16, and we saw that Lydia and her household were converted. We saw that the Philippian jailer later in that chapter was converted. And this is proof of what happens when the seed is planted in a good and honest heart, isn't it? We see these two people, a good and honest heart. Paul, by his influence, his example, by his teaching, they see this, they have good hearts, and they obey Christ as well. And again, talking about his influence, church is established at Philippi. Okay, so we see in Philippians chapter 1, let's turn over there. I think we have time to do this. Philippians chapter 1. It says, Paul and Timothy, this is verse 1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. So we see that, again, thinking about his influence, thinking about his example. Here we are about 10 years later, and they have elders and deacons there. Okay. So we see the growth, we see the influence. Okay, chapter 16. Chapter 17, we moved into Paul turning the world upside down, right? When we know, as we studied, that it wasn't Paul creating the havoc, it was others. But they said Paul is turning the world upside down. So, but it also tells us, again, think about his influence here. Devout Greeks and many leading women followed Paul and Silas. So we had more believers. The Jews then, they set all the city in an uproar, told things about Paul that were not true. And then Paul moves on to Berea. And in Berea, he finds the Bereans there who are fair-minded. And many believe there. They were the ones that searched the scriptures and studied and found the truth and were obedient. And then later, Paul addresses the men at Mars Hill and he tells them about the true God, the one only living God. Okay, chapter 18. So chapter 18, we meet Aquila and Priscilla. They says they were persuading both Jews and Greeks. Okay, they were persuaded. And again, we think about this influence and how the gospel is continuing to spread. Crispus and all his household believed, and they were baptized. Again, influence. And then we see Apollos. It says that Apollos was mighty in the scriptures, and he spoke accurately about Christ. Of course, we know that he was taken aside by Aquila and Priscilla, and as he was teaching about the baptism of John and was corrected, Apollos goes on and continues to teach boldly, we see a great example in his life as well. Then churches also established in Corinth. So we got the church established in Philippi, church established in Corinth. Again, think about the influence of Paul and some of these other people. Chapter 19, and interrupt me if you have any comments. Chapter 19, so Paul teaches Ephesus. Now, he taught 2 years in Ephesus, and it says there that all in Asia heard about Christ, all in Asia. So again, the word is spreading. Paul's influence continues. Others that he teaches are also helping to spread the word. And then we talk about the ones that had practiced magic and how they burned their books. They repented. They turned away from them. They recognized that what they were doing was wrong. And a good example to us, and we talked about how my thought of when they burn the books, they're gone, right? They can't turn back to it. That's how we need to be with sin. We can't, but when we see we're doing something that's wrong, that's sinful, we need to put it away, turn away from it, and never go back to it. And then there is where Demetrius causes the uproar. And again, trouble kind of follows Paul, right, at this point in time. Okay. All right, chapter 20. Paul came together with the disciples at Troas, okay? And we see that in verse 7. And then towards the end of the chapter, he calls for the Ephesian elders, and they come to Miletus. Paul says in verse 27, again, look at Paul's influence and his desire to serve Christ. And he says, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Okay? The whole counsel. Good, another good example for us. He declares the whole counsel. That's what we should be doing as well. Then he gives them a warning. The warning to the elders. Take heed to shepherd the flock. Okay, in verse 28. So take heed. So again, elders have a responsibility to watch over the flock, as we see there. Chapter 21. Okay. And I just noticed that I can actually see this monitor up here this morning. That's great. Chapter 21. So he found disciples at Tyre. He stayed 7 days. And what happened there? Told them not to go to Jerusalem, right? But Paul was determined to go to Jerusalem. He came to Ptolemais and he greeted the brethren there. And then we have Agabus's prediction. What will happen to Paul? When you get to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. And Paul then is arrested later in that chapter. Chapter 22. So Paul gives his defense here in Acts chapter 22. And some of these things we just recently have talked about. Let's jump over there. So we have the mob. The crowd, and Paul gives this defense before them about himself, and he tells about his conversion. He tells about his commission, where he's told what Jesus wants him to do. And then at that point in time, they're going to beat him, and he tells him he is a Roman. Okay. When that happens, of course, we all remember what happens. They realize he's a Roman. We don't want to beat him because that is against the law. And they did not want to put themselves in that situation. And then Paul sat before the council then later to defend himself again. We see time and time again as Paul travels his journeys and teaches, he's constantly defending himself and defending his belief and in the way that he is in. Any comments or thoughts? Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Back in chapter 19, Brent's talking about being willing to count the cost. That we need, as we teach others, we need to help them to understand about counting the cost as well. We need to have that same mindset. Yeah, so Lynn is saying that when somebody obeys the gospel and they are still a babe in Christ, right? And so they still need help along the way. And I think what you're saying is, and this, just like what we see in Paul, Paul understood that as well, right? He understood that. That's why he wrote his letters. He was concerned about when he would leave and go to another location. In his mind, he was concerned about leaving them there and what would happen to them. We see that. We see his concern and love for those new converts. And he understood that completely. Good points. Anything else? All right. Let's move to chapter 23. So again, Paul defends himself before the council in chapter 23. And Jesus comes to him and says to him in verse 11 that you must bear witness at Rome. Okay, so here's Paul going through all these trials, all these difficulties, and many things he has to face. And Jesus tells him, you're going to go to Rome, right? Now, he doesn't tell him how you're going to go to Rome. He just tells him you're going to go to Rome. And we know Paul, and we know from his examples that he completely believed this, right? To Paul, it didn't matter how he was going to get there, right? He knew Jesus had told him, you're going to go, and so he knows he's going to get there, okay? Of course, there's the plan to kill him. So there's the plan to kill Paul, and the centurion decides to take him away by night to Caesarea. And It says he took 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. Every time I read that, I just think how, I mean, that's amazing. You know, even in our day and time, I mean, when you got somebody that's, has to be protected, 200 soldiers and 70 horsemen, 200 spearmen. I mean, that's what, 470. That's a lot of people protecting Paul as they go to Caesarea. And he wanted to be sure that he got to his destination. And then, of course, Paul is presented before Felix. And as we've talked about just recently, how now he begins to defend himself before some different people. And again, as Paul defends himself, first and foremost in his mind is defending Christ and teaching Christ. It doesn't matter who it is. And he's going to speak the truth and teach Jesus to all these people. In chapter 24, so he defends himself before Felix. And then it says, Paul reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment. We talked about this, self-control and judgment to Felix and Drusilla. So there again, he's teaching the truth, right? Always teaching the truth. You think about back when he was in jail, the Philippian jailer, and they were singing, right? And those examples, those things that he does, he's always, first and foremost, he's always thinking about how can I reach somebody? How can I reach them? Good example for us. Of course, at the end of the chapter there, Felix is gone, leaves Paul in jail. He's there for 2 years. Now, again, you think back about what Christ said to him. You know, you're going to go to Rome. How long has it been now since he was told that? 2 years. Okay. And another thought for ourselves. There are times when, you know, we look at God's promises and we wonder, well, how long? How long? Well, we talked about the song In His Time. And God's got his plan. He's got things in His time. And we need to just obey Him. All right. Any thoughts, comments? Exactly. So Paul's priorities. He's whoever he's before. His priority is to preach the gospel, and like you said, most of us would be, how do I get out of this? And he's thinking, how do I reach these people? Because he understands completely what his mission is, what he's here for, and that's his goal. Doesn't matter what happens to him. That's his goal. Okay. Anything else? I hear somebody else. Yes. Yeah, God's providence. We see God's providence all through this. And like you were saying, he's instead of turning him loose, they keep him, which protects him from the Jews and those who are trying to kill him. Okay. Yes.
Protecting Paul, right? Because he beat up the Jews. He had to beat up. And then you go over to do the Jews a favor, but he keeps Paul in prison. Right? And so it's evident, in my mind, that God is protecting Paul through the Romans. Whether he lets Paul go or keeps Paul, at the end of the day, it's God's protection because he has a plan for Paul. Mm-hmm. And that's what is amazing to me is we look back, we have the story here, right? And we can see all these things lining up, and it just gives me confidence that God's going to protect me if I'm doing what he wants me to do.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, God's providence. God's going to God protected Paul, and he does the same for us, right? If we're doing His will. All right. Thank you for the comments. Anything else? Sure. Yes. Yes. Yep, that's right. God keeps His promises. Always trust in God, not in man. Good point. All right, chapter 25. So now he goes before Festus. He defends himself. At this point now, he appeals to Caesar. Okay, he appeals to Caesar. Of course, when you appeal to Caesar, according to the law, you're going to go to Caesar, right? So now he is at this point. And just what we were just talking about. If he had not appealed to Caesar, we might have turned him loose, right? Okay. So, and then King Agrippa, he wants to hear Paul. So he comes and he wants to now hear Paul. All right. Chapter 26. Tells us his part in persecuting those of the way in his conversion. So Paul talks about how he used to be, right? How he persecuted those that were in the way. And that he had a part in that. But then he tells about his conversion. Okay, so again, he's using this to teach Christ, right? So teaches about Christ's sacrifice and his resurrection. King Agrippa obviously understands this. And then he's not persuaded, right? But Paul says that his hope and his prayer, and I think this again kind of sums up a lot of what we're saying. Paul's hope and his prayer is that all will be persuaded to become believers. He sees the fields are white. He sees that he needs to be busy, and his hope and his prayer is that all will be persuaded to become believers. Chapter 27. So Paul now sails for Rome, right? He's on his way to Rome. They get caught up in a storm. Of course, I'm not going to go through the whole route, but they get caught up in a storm, and while he's on this ship, he professes to everyone his belief in God and the God that he serves, right? Here he is. They're in the storm. He's with all these other people. And he's willing, he's just one person willing to stand up and say, the God I serve is going to protect us. An angel came and told me so. And at the end of all this, what happens? Ship sinks, but everyone makes it to land. Okay, they all make it safely, just like God had said. And have to think about, of course, we don't know, but those others that were on the ship with him, what did they think? What did they think? What happened to them after that? So it's a good. I would dare to say that it's a good possibility that they had to at least think on these things, and if they didn't, if not, they maybe became believers themselves. All right. Any thoughts? Yes.
Some of them try to
right? They still had to be obedient, right? They still had to be obedient. That's right. And that's, again, the same for us. Good comment, Brent. Anything else? All right, chapter 28. So the land on Malta, okay, it's south of Italy. And then there's Publius's father and many others on the island are healed, aren't they? They're all healed. Okay, some things happen there. And first they think that Paul is that he's a bad person, but then they find out the truth, and he heals them. Again, just like with Christ, what were the miracles for? Yes, proof, authority, right? Okay, and I think it's the same thing here, that this showed that he was a man of God, okay? And then, of course, Paul arrives in Rome, okay? He testified of the kingdom of God, verse 23, and then he preached the kingdom of God to all who came to him, there in the end of the chapter. So again, and I highlighted those in another color. I'm a little colorblind. It's either blue or purple, one of the two. And but I highlighted those because those are the things I thought about as I was studying. That again, this is Paul's influence. You see this all throughout every chapter we've read, everything in Paul's life, the influence. And he, again, now he's in Rome, he's reached Rome, and he testifies of the kingdom of God. And he preached the kingdom of God to all who came to him. Okay. All right. Any other thoughts, comments? Yep. All about the preaching of the kingdom from beginning to end. Yeah, that's right. All right, good comments. Okay, we talked about just during Paul's journeys, the letters that he wrote. Written on his second journey was 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We just went over this the other day, and some things in the past. And then on his third journey, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and Romans. Again, all these letters are written to encourage them, at times to get them to understand what they were doing right or wrong. And Paul sends these letters, and all this is because of his love for these brethren. And then while he was in prison at Rome, roughly 62 and 63 A.D., he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and the letter to the Philippians. Okay. After he was released from prison, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus, which Gary just talked about this the other day. And then during his second imprisonment, he wrote 2 Timothy somewhere around AD 66. And this is nearing, as far as we know, near the end of Paul's life. Okay, so you know, I was putting these slides together, and there's all kinds of things you can list, right? Lessons from Paul, just so many things. Number one, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and he believed in its power to save. Romans 1:16, right? Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. These are all lessons for us. And that we, it doesn't matter what age we are, these are things that we need to remember, that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel, and we should recognize its power to save. He was willing to endure hardship. Do we see that in Paul's life? Yes, we do. We see it many, many times. Through his shipwrecks, his beatings, the Jews, everything. He endured hardship, and yet still his goal was to reach the lost. He believed in prayer for himself and others. We see that at times, right? He stops and he prays with the brethren. Even on the ship before they ate, he led a prayer. Okay, so gave thanks. So again, there's his belief in prayer and that example it shows to others, right? His willingness to stand out on his own by himself and show his belief in God. And he never lost sight of the crown, his crown, did he? Crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. Never lost sight of it. Through all these hardships, through all these problems, all these things that happened to him, he never lost sight of it. Okay. And he was always determined to magnify Christ, right? Philippians 1:20. All right. Oh, so that is the end. We have one more class, and I do really appreciate everybody's great comments this quarter. I've enjoyed it, and look forward to Wednesday night. We'll finish up. But again, I do thank you for all the great comments, all the help that you've given me as I've taught, and hopefully together we've learned many things and discussed some things about the scripture that will help us to continue to grow and learn. Any other comments before we go? All right. I think the... Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he never retired, did he? He worked to the end. All right. And I did want to one more scripture I'm going to read. And Steve actually read this in the sermon. And then we'll close with this. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Okay, so let's remember, as I said at the beginning, Paul's influence on those during his lifetime, his influence through the letters that the Holy Spirit has kept for us, that we can learn from, and he influenced those for Christ in his lifetime, and also continues to influence others like us as well. All right. Anything else? Yes. Right. That's a good point. He knew that his ultimate goal was heaven. He didn't worry about his life here. He knew God would take care of him. And when his time was done and God was ready to call him home, he was ready to go. Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. I think we're going to wind it up here in just a minute. I'm not sure exactly what time the bell rings. We've got 2 minutes? Yeah, about 2 minutes? Okay. Yeah, so a couple of minutes and the bell will ring, and then we'll have a break and start this next service. Thank you, everybody.